Well, I think most people are in the room right now. It's so good to see your faces. Why don't we come to the Lord in prayer before we begin? All right, we got a really good subject today about the heart. So that's going to be interesting. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning to praise you, to worship you, to give glory to you, and set our hearts aligned before you. Lord, we know that, as Pastor Alex mentioned earlier, that this week has been heavy for many, especially for himself and his grandma breaking her hip. And she's in the hospital right now. We want to remember her, and we want to remember so many brothers and sisters dealing with physical illness, mental anguish, so many burdens that not all of us are aware of. But Lord, you understand and you see everything, and your Holy Spirit is moving in their hearts right now to comfort them, to strengthen them, to offer courage, to offer your love in their homes. And we want to thank you because you are an all-knowing God, all-loving, all-merciful. And we trust that your healing hands are upon each and every one of us who are struggling and who are in need of your love this morning. And we want to thank you. We pray all this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Okay. We have been on this journey of the Shema for quite some time. I'm enjoying it. Are you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yes. Okay. Yes. I like it. I understand the delay in the video, but I'm sure it's speaking to us. I'm sure it's speaking to us. And last week we were reminded by Pastor Alex of the Israelites being privileged to be part of this covenant that God has given the Israelites. The picture that he showed you was a picture of a vassal paying homage to the king, right? You saw that French painting, and that he was, the vassal was kneeling down with his head down, and his facial expressions were expressions displaying humility and bowing down to his king, being subject, having surrendered everything to his king. So, and that was a picture of what God wanted his people to be, to come before him and to recognize him as the one and only king. And today we're going to look into the part of the Shema that mentions the heart, right? We saw the, I'm going to show the verse right now. We know this is the verse that we've been on. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Lev is the Hebrew word for heart. We're going to look at the word heart, and we're going to see how it's defined in the Old Testament and how it's going to be defined in the New Testament. And then we're going to go back to Pastor Alex's question at the end of last week's Sunday school is, how does all this play out in your will, your emotions? How do you love the Lord, your God, with all your heart? Okay? So, Shema, we can do this again. You guys remember? Shema. This is the sign language we learned. Shema, O Israel, right? This is the people. Israel, this is the nation, but this is the people he's talking to. the Lord, Adonai, our God. And Adonai, the Lord, out of many, he's the only one who is our God. Amen. I don't have the rest. They didn't teach me yet. So, but I thought that was pretty cool to always review that. Okay. So I'm going to start with a different angle today. And you guys got to follow with me on this because I'll lead you guys somewhere that is going to show us and hopefully give us a better understanding of what the heart is and how do we love the Lord with all of our heart. So we know that the heart in the Jewish understanding is the seat of affection, of emotions, pain, joy, anger, and such, with the will, the intellect, the knowing, the understanding, the wisdom of the heart, the discernment of the heart. We see that all over Proverbs and Psalms. The Jewish people, the Israelites, did not have understanding of the brain itself. They, in their understanding, everything resided in the heart, right? Not only the physical heart, which they understood, that the organ that pumps the blood that keeps us alive, but also everything else of the person. The most important part of the person flows out of the heart. So you see that the thought, emotion, the physical, of course, and the choices all reside in the heart. And that's their understanding of the heart. So when Solomon, if you guys remember in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 9, remember when God, Yahweh, and we'll just read this, at Gibeon, the Yahweh appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart with you." In verse 9, he says, "Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" So Solomon, out of everything, asks for understanding heart. Now, in the past, I think in other versions, it would say wisdom. He asked for wisdom. But guess what the word in Jewish, in the Jewish text is? It's not wisdom. It's understanding heart. It's give me a Shema, Lev. So it's, this is almost like the Shema, right, that we're studying. He's asking, give me an understanding, an obedience, obedient heart. And here's my question. As the plane is flying by somebody's house. Okay. I want you to guys to spend some time on this, especially question number two. So Solomon asked, give me an understanding heart. So how would a wise and understanding heart, a Shemaing heart, help Solomon judge his people, the people? And more importantly, okay, this is where I want you guys to go. Imagine that you were being judged. Not that you guys committed a crime. Well, maybe you guys did. Imagine you were being judged for a crime or something. What qualities would you want your judge to have and why? You got that? That's a good one, okay? Welcome back. So, does anyone want to share? If you were being judged, what qualities would you want your judge to have and why?
Hello?
Yes. Who's that? Okay.
Sarah, go for it. You have a good answer.
Sarah, all right. Go for it, Sarah.
For the first one question, I said how would a wise and understanding heart help Solomon? That's the part of humbling yourself and allowing God to come into you, and so you're not operating out of your flesh and of your own understanding mm-hmm. and judgments. And so instead of doing that, you humble yourself before the Lord and allow Him to speak through you and to give you, speak through you with the wisdom and understanding that you need to handle the situation and the people involved.
Yes, very good. Thank you, Sarah. That will certainly help Solomon judge his people, because when he humbles himself before the Lord, God's wisdom comes through him, right? And works through him.
Yes, our group, I think, touched upon another level too. And I was very, made me think, because Milton mentioned the Solomon, mm-hmm. the judge, as solving the baby who two women wanted to keep.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. he not only showed wisdom and compassion to the mother, mm-hmm. he showed wisdom and compassion to the other lady too. Not only like exposing her true evil intention, but mm-hmm. having the situation resolve itself.
Well, right? That's the, yeah.
So and mm-hmm. it's like salvation too. It's like you not only have mercy and compassion to the people who believe in you, but also the same qualities to the other people who don't believe in Christ.
Mm.
So
wow, so yeah.
That's really, thought that was kind of like philosophical or something.
It is. I mean, there's discernment in there. Mm-hmm. The not exposing the other lady in the evil intent is interesting, because we see Jesus doing that a lot of times. He came here he didn't want to expose all the wickedness, even Judas, right? He never exposed him. But allowed him to experience his love and in his provision throughout those 3 years. It's interesting. So on that note, if we were being judged, what qualities would we want in a judge? Presiding over you.
I think, Frank, that you want a person to be knowledgeable and have wisdom, hopefully wisdom from God, and that they make fair and impartial judgments, not favoring someone, one person over another. But having knowledge and wisdom from God, I think it's very, very important.
And yeah.
Impartial, being able to be impartial.
Being impartial, okay? Just interesting. Now, you want this judge to be presiding over you, and let's assume that you were guilty. What kind of judge would you want over you?
Mercy.
Compassion. Merciful.
Okay,
merciful.
So now it's there. Yeah, mercy. Compassion. Yeah. That's important. So when it's us, when we're guilty, we want mercy. And Daniel said something, he said he wanted a light punishment, because he's wrong. He knows that, okay? So he wants a light punishment. He wants a merciful God.
Second chance, or even a third chance.
A third chance, maybe? Fourth mm-hmm. chance?
Yeah.
You know what, Frank? When I was in our group with Jonathan, it's interesting, because we were talking about the word understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And some people think about a judge having understanding as the knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay? So understanding the knowledge of right and wrong. Okay. So So there's like an understanding of like knowing what is right and knowing wrong. That's what Scott is saying, like impartial.
Right.
Right. Like I understand what is right and I understand what is wrong and I need to understand how to deliver it. But when Jonathan was sharing about understanding, he said you'd want a judge who actually understands the, like the person, right? He said you'd want the judge to understand like what goes on in the heart of the person.
Right? Bingo. Is that Johnny, right?
That's Johnny. Johnny Chin.
Johnny Chin. That is number one. That is the one of the crucial understandings of this this text here. And the question is that you want a judge. We know the judge knows the right and wrong, but you want a judge to understand you as a person. That is a very different judge. A person who understands your history, your path, your inclinations, where you've been, why you committed the crime. Not, it doesn't make the crime any less serious, but it helps to know that the judge knew you. He knows why. It didn't happen just overnight. There were sequential events, right? If you were guilty, you might want a judge who knows your history, who knows where you've been. The understanding. Yeah, Johnny, that's good. And I think, Jenny, when you mentioned how he was merciful to the other lady, I think Solomon displayed some of that wisdom and understanding, though he had every right to execute her, probably. Anyone else? Is it wonderful to have a judge like that presiding over you when you're guilty? Now, with that understanding, with knowing the type of judge that we would want and the type of heart that you would have, I want to suggest that perhaps, above all else, this is what God would want his children to know, is in Shema, his heart. Not that we're the judge over God, of course not, but it's the same thing, because God knows us. He knows our history. And when he asks us to Shema and to love him with all our hearts, you flip that around, he wants the same from us to him. Do you think God would want his children to know his heart like the way he knows our hearts? Yeah, we always think about, how do I love the Lord? But knowing how much we desire a person to know us intimately so they understand where we're coming from. Maybe God wants us to know where he's coming from. To care about what he cares about the most, to desire what he desires the most, to be passionate about what he's passionate about, to pursue his will in all areas of life, right? To yearn for what's on his heart. I don't know if that is helping you understand to how to love the Lord with our hearts. Does that shed some insight or give us a new perspective? Remember David? King David? He was in 1 Samuel. It says that he is a man after God's own heart. He, by far, he did many wretched things. But I wonder why he was a man after God's own heart.
I'd like to share something, and I'm not directly answering your correct question, Frank, but, you know, just the, you know, you jogged a memory of mine about, you know, facing a judge and, you know, committing crimes or not, you know, so it jogged a memory about actually being judged. When you asked that question, my mind automatically went to a courtroom. And, you know, I've committed crimes before and I've been in a courtroom before. So I do apologize. I'm not really answering the question that you just asked, but I just wanted to, because you jogged the memory for me and I just wanted to share, you know, so I know, like, I've been on that side, like, being the criminal. And it was good, you know, it was a long time ago. And, you know, the judge was, as I remember, he was very, very knowledgeable in the law, you know. But he also, I think that was a great point, Johnny. Like, he wanted to know the person, right? So he asked a lot of questions about me, you know, and like my circumstance. Mm. And, you know, at the time, my parents were already divorced. Single mom raising two kids. She's trying to make a living for us, you know?
Yeah.
Gotta earn an income. And, you know, she wasn't there all the time, you know, but I needed a father figure. But I didn't, you know, so that's why, you know, got into gangs and then, you know, things just start going south, you know? So yeah, it just triggered a memory and just thinking back, I just, even though I wasn't a believer back then,
yeah,
I see God's hand in it, you know, being merciful to me. You know, and then even like with the car accident, you know, years later, I mean, same thing, right? I mean, the judge understanding or the prosecutor understanding my position, where the situation, right? Like that street wasn't very well lit. It was a big party and then people were drunk and high on drugs and just randomly crossing streets, right? Like the prosecutor had to have known the situation around me. And that's why I'm not in jail right now and I'm here with you. And that's God, right? That's only God that because God instilled, you know, mercy and understanding, you know, into the judges and the prosecutors that were before me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's all God, you know, and I'm here today because of what God has done for me, you know? Yeah. So that's, you know, you just trigger a memory. Sorry about the, kind of did a little sidetrack there.
No, that's good. That's good, Bob, because I think we all have our own reasons and our own stories of experiencing God's understanding and mercy and compassion. We understand that. And you mentioned something that's, you said something that again, is still in line with what we're talking about, is the judge asked questions about you. He asked many things. He wanted to know what's going on. And again, the purpose why I brought this question up is, yes, to understand how God understands us, but it's the other way too, that we would ask questions about God all the time. The same type of understanding, that the same type of devotion that God gives to his children, that God is requesting and commanding the same from us. Ask me about me, not always about you, about give me, ask me who I am, right? I know who you are, but God is saying, ask me, about who I am, what I want, what I desire, what's on my heart.
If I could share and chime in as Bob, thank you for sharing your story. That's very open and vulnerable of you. And we were just glad that you're, you know, you've learned from that lesson and that you're here with us. Anyways, so also just kind of reflecting on what other people are saying about, you know, Bob, you said your judge asked you who you were, like your background, and he probably noticed that you were nervous and that you're not, you know, you're remorseful and picking up on all these things. So, you know, in reflecting on how we relate with God, like when God gives us, you know, when God tells us something to do something, the obedience that he delights in, I'm beginning to think it's not just a, yes, sir, I'll go do it. It's the God, like, you know, what is your heart behind this? You know, your prompting, mm-hmm. You want me to go talk to that person. I'm a little bit nervous, but why do you, you know, why? Or like, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Like what, you know, so just kind of asking all these questions of God, what is on your heart right now? Like, what is going on in your mind? You know, what emotions mm-hmm. do you have attached to this thing that you're asking me to do, or this assignment? Because with, you know, the judge, he could just plainly say, give me all the facts. I'm going to judge what's right and wrong. Right. But no, he takes in this very complicated factor of like the human heart. And that makes that's the kind of judge that we want. And I think God also just wants us to see him not as a black and white, you know, commander, but somebody, a being that has a heart, an emotion, a thought. And he wants us to consider those things when we obey him. Right. Like when we respond to him, when he tells us to do something, or when he makes a verdict on something, or when he answers a prayer, or et cetera. So that's really significant to know, gosh, like we should be asking God, hey God, like, what are you feeling right now? What is going on with you right now? What's your plan? Like, what do you see? Like those things. So that's really significant and Bob, you sharing your story really connects that in a very tangible, practical way for me, at least.
Yeah, if I could add on that too, you know, the first question that I kind of tend to go to even prior to that is, you know, what you expect from the judge, and probably the reason why he is a judge, is that there is justice and there is impartiality. Reality, and there is the knowledge of right and wrong. And if I was standing before the judge, like Bobby was sharing, and the judge actually began to ask me who I am, I would sense like, why would you want to know about me? You know, aren't you supposed to just execute the sentence and execute me, right? And then conversely, if what we're saying is love the Lord with all your heart is also, you know, your heart knowing the heart of God, right? And then the question would also be, why in the world would God reveal anything about himself to us, to me? Like what right do I have to know the heart of the judge or the king, right? And so that goes back to that covenant, right, that God makes with his people, and why he even communicates and reveals himself to his people. Why would he, right? I think that's pretty amazing of a concept, you know, right? Like, why would he even want us to know his heart when all he needs to do is execute the sentence, right?
Yeah, and it goes back to those treaties that you were mentioning last week. Most kings just says, just obey me. I'm the higher, I'm the king, you're the vassal, obey. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But with God, there's a lot more going on with the good king.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think during fellowship 2 weeks ago, Rebs had us like ask God about the other person, and that was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in asking God, but like that's like an intimate space of God's view of somebody else, you know, and how can I be in that presence? Like when we ask that question, I see myself in a room with that person, with God, and that's way too intimate. I'm like, God, I'm not worthy to be here to know what you think of this other person. And so I struggled with that exercise, but it was really good. It was a good exercise to ask God. So mm-hmm. It was a really good fellowship. So just my little plug-in, I really wish some of you guys would join us at English Fellowship on Saturday.
7 p.m. Saturdays. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Susan. As Pastor Alex was mentioning earlier too, is that the covenant, why would God even invite us to know his heart and create this covenant, this two-way covenant, where not just he commands you just do it, but there's a reciprocation. He says, come and know me too. The invitation is so important. That covenant is so important to God that the history of the entire Bible, right, or entire Jewish history, hinges on that until Jesus comes onto the scene, right? Then you have the new covenant. It's so important that he would create a new covenant in our hearts. And we know these verses in Jeremiah, because I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I think when we're studying John, we refer to this verse too, to write it. One day, if you look forward, the laws are not just going to be on a tablet or scroll. I'm going to write it on your heart because it's so important. I want you to know my heart. And one day, even Moses, towards the end of Deuteronomy, he says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, that you may live. And I think we can just answer this together. You know, what is this new covenant pointing to? So important. It's pointing to the New Testament. So what is this pointing to specifically? When the law is going to be written on our hearts and our hearts will be circumcised. How would Scott, do you want to say something? No. This covenant that God has with his people is so important, and God wanting his people to know his heart so much, though he won't force it, but he desired it so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, so that one day his laws will be in our hearts, and that our hearts will become from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, so that we would actually have the ability to love God and to want God, to desire God. That's how much God wants, our King wants us, his people, to know him. Because without the Holy Spirit, it would be impossible. You guys agree? Yeah. So I think it does show. I mean, I think we're learning about God's heart this morning. How much he desires us. It's always been on his heart too, so that we would know him. So with that, so knowing that, right? Knowing all of this that we just talked about God's heart, and about us, about God wanting us to know about him. I want to go back to the question that Pastor Alex proposed last week, is what does it look like to love God now with our intellect and our emotions and our will, basically our heart? And what is the hardest for you personally? What does it look like to love God with your heart? And what is hardest for you personally? Daniel, can you quickly break us up for about 5 minutes?
Okay. And probably for the context too, Frank, if people weren't here last week, it's the Hebrew understanding, when they said heart, it included not just the emotions, but yes, volition and
your, in the will.
Right. So your volition, your intellect, as well as your emotions. Typically, we think of heart as just emotions. But
right,
the Hebrew, yeah, understanding was that, yeah.
Right. You saw that heart earlier I had, guys, that picture. It had the will, the physical, the emotions. Yeah, I'll put it in.
Okay.
Yeah. Where's the chat? You guys had a good conversation.
Yeah, I didn't get to finish mine with my group. That was
good.
Oh,
whoa. Time is short.
Time is short.
Time is short, so take advantage of it. Time is short. Jesus is coming back.
You cut us off, Daniel.
I'm sure we can have a much longer conversation here. And I hope it is a good conversation, even though it's short. But we're not going to have time to share it. However, we can address this question together. Is, given all of the things that we discussed today, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, you shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart. How is this command lived out as a community together? And this is the question Rebs asked that last week too, towards the end. Right. Our God, again, it's not just private, right? It's our God.
Yeah, because it says both, right? It says your, right? It says your God and our God.
Yes.
One of those little cups of milk.
So I think we typically address the your part. We understand that. There could be more that we can delve into, but how is this command lived out as a community, in your opinion? Just something that we can talk about. How do we love the Lord with our hearts together?
Is this assuming, Frank, that everyone involved is a believer, or can there be non-believers as well?
Good question. Could it?
Yeah. It'd be very difficult, but just the way communities are. Some are believers, some are not. Maybe they could become believers, but their opinions and their way they look at life is totally different.
Yeah, could it include children who have not accepted Jesus yet? Yeah, could it include those who are disabled, who don't have the capacity to, maybe?
Well, Scott, I don't know who asked this question originally, but I think in that context, when we talk community, we're not talking about the community we live in, as in like the cities or the neighborhood. I think this question, when we use the word community, it's, I think Frank is asking community as in the body of believers.
Okay.
I believe that's what the question is asking. But if we look at the scripture, what Frank is bringing up that verse, I think this is interesting, because when we read Deuteronomy 6, I don't know if we actually did this in the class, but chapter 6, verse 1.
Hey guys.
Next week,
right?
I thought that was the music for the Oscars, you know, saying you got to step off the stage there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, the address, second person pronoun is plural. So it's addressing the group, you know, the people. But then when it went to verse 3 and it says, "Hear, O Israel," verse 4, you know, the verse that Frank led us to say in Hebrew, the "you" is singular, but it's addressing Israel. And Israel it's interesting because Israel is a collective, right? It's the people of Israel, it's the nation of Israel, which represents God's people. And somehow God addressed it with a singular pronoun, "you," instead of "you all." And so there is that sense that when we love, we are loving not only individually with God, but as a people of God together, that we would express that love and devotion to God. So I think that's the question then, right? How then, when God says, "Love the Lord your God, O Israel," for us today would be, "O people of God, O church of Christ, how do you love?" And then we know the Church of Christ is all of us individually, but together as the church, right? As the body of Christ. I think, you know, so then for me then to answer this question, I'll just maybe put in a little trickle here. I would say what we're doing right now is a way of loving God together. You know, we're coming together Sunday morning, we're studying God's word, we're sharing our lives, we're encouraging each other. You know, there's a testimony here, right? We're not here just because we love each other. I mean, I love you. I want to see your faces, but that's not what draws me here. It's us together coming before the Lord and coming before his word, because we are together loving our King. And that's what we're doing this morning.
Yeah. Very good. Anyone else? Does it agree? Want to add to that? How would you live out this command as a community of believers? As a church? As friends, brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I just shared a very small trickle, like a small facet. So that's not all. I'm leaving a whole bunch for you guys. I'm just
a whole bunch.
One little piece.
you haven't exhausted yet. Yeah.
Oh, not close.
Yeah. I left a little clue in the picture too. That's a part. Uh-huh. We like that. We don't know, we can't do that right now.
Well, I think first of all, we wouldn't be complaining so much or mumbling under our breaths about how other people are doing things.
Okay.
They might be doing things differently, but if we are a community under Christ, then there's a unity that is, I think it's spoken and unspoken.
Mm. That's good, Janet. Less grumbling, that we would be more unified in our hearts, yeah. Right? Because we're worshiping the same King. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely one important part of a unified community. We're together, as Pastor James was sharing earlier, there's a testimony here where our voices, what we're speaking God's word, we're sharing our lives, the good and the bad. Not that we get to do that all the time on Zoom, especially in Sunday school, but a lot of struggles, a lot of joy, a lot of accomplishments, all facets of life, right? And we're bringing it to the Lord together. I almost see a picture of a big, literally, if it was a community in the same area, imagine if we all lived very close to each other, were neighbors. And if we walked out of our house, we'd see each other. And we would hear the kids screaming three houses down. And we'd hear the laughter three houses down, or the cries. It's every part of our lives.
You know, Frank, I've been reminded how important it is to reach out to one another. Not especially those that we haven't reached out to in some time, just to inquire about how they're doing in their lives, and just about if there's any way that we can help with just words, just comforting words, just to share with one another. To uplift one another, I think that's very important to remember throughout each day. Not just coming in together on Sundays, but throughout the week, every day, just to think about somebody. I think that's another very important aspect about community.
Yeah, that's right, Danny. And that's on God's heart too, because God cares for whoever you're thinking about. He cares deeply.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he cares deeply for him or her. Yeah. It's actually pretty practical sometimes if you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I just add one more thing? I encourage you guys, to go back and read, not right now, but Deuteronomy 6. I just have it in front of me, but 6, when you look at 6:1-9, which is the context we're reading, there is a, I think God's word, and as Frank is leading us to think about this, there's like, it's God's command, but really there's like a strong encouragement and, energy, I feel, that God's word is pushing our heart to respond. There's like a zeal to pursue him.
Mm.
right? To love him, to pursue him, to demonstrate him, but not alone. That's the thing, not alone, it's together. And, you know, being together in each other's presence, being involved in each other's life, but it's more than just showing care and friendship and love and support, because that's what any community would have. But if we look at Deuteronomy 6, there is a strong sense that let God be your leader and let God's word be there, right? Like all the commands that God's going to give us, all his teachings, you know, and not only do we know it, but we need to teach it to our children, our sons' sons, you know, the generation that is to come. And when we know his will in our lives, and when we together encourage each other to pursue the knowledge of God and to love him, and that our children know it, that, you know, whether we're talking to them, we're sitting down, right? The verse 7, sitting down, walking, or when we're lying down, all of this is God's word infuses our heart, and the Spirit will speak through us. And then we experience the blessing of God, right? I mean, that's his promise. We experience the fullness of God's blessing, and that becomes a testimony to the rest of the world. That becomes a testimony to the rest of the world that we are God's people, and that God is good, and that God loves all mankind, and that God wants all people to come under his grace.
Yeah, Pastor James, that's good when you're sharing that. Image got brought up. I remember when Pastor Alex was sharing with me when some of you guys went to on a mud run, and you guys were running, you're pursuing the same goal, and everyone's running, but some people started to fall behind, and some folks just kept on going because they want to win, they want to pursue. I don't know if Roger's here, but Roger is, you know, he's fast and he loves this stuff, and he can hang, he can keep going, but Roger will constantly come back to the end of the group and say, "Hey, come on to the end, to the straddling ones in the back," and say, "Come on, let's go. And he was kind of living that out, where we're pursuing God, you know, in a sense that together, but as a community, as a group, it was not solo saint, right? He kept on coming back to help the group along for a dedicated purpose, which is to, in the mud run, to win the mud run as a group. That's the whole point. But we are all walking toward, running towards heaven right now as a group. And some are ahead, some are in the middle, and some are hurting, struggling. But we're running together. I think that's a big part of the big part of the community and how that would play out. Well, anyone else have anything that you want to share? Any thoughts of, you know, actually, you guys do have a lot of ideas of how this can be lived out in the community, as a community, in a practical sense, how this would carry out. But we may not have the time to share, or this may not be the right time for you guys to share, but I believe we're doing this as a community right now, parts of it, and we'll continue to do that, hopefully physically, together soon. Would anyone like to close in prayer for us? Danny, since I mentioned your voice earlier, would love to hear you pray for us. Would that be possible?
Dear Frank, can it,
yeah,
yes, absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we're able to come together as a body in Christ this morning with with each other, brothers and sisters in Christ in this congregation, to share this word that Frank has brought to us today, Lord, to think about. And we just thank you for the blessing that you have over all of us, each and every one of us. And we just ask, Lord, that as we move into this Sunday and throughout the week, Lord, that we keep this in mind, that we share God's love and we get to know him on a personal level and share with him personally with each other, with our lives with him and in his life in his heart with us. And we just remember, Lord, that we need to just keep community in mind as far as each one of us, and to lift each other up whenever possible, Lord. And we thank you for your presence here with us today. And just always remind us, Lord, to keep our hearts open to you and to each other. And we also just pray over this sermon today, Lord, and for all the children's ministry, Lord, we pray over that as well. And we thank you for all the blessing that we feel in our lives. And we just pray all this in your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.